You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Are you tired of the I can't mindset? The I'm not good enough mindset? Do you feel like your negative thoughts control your life? Well, you came to the right place. Because in the next 30 minutes, you will learn how to break free from the limiting mindset of anxiety, fear, victimization, depression, trauma, and self-hatred by reprogramming your subconscious mind. It's time to master your mind with Dr. Erica.
Hello, good people, and welcome to Master Your Mind with Dr. Erica. Welcome, welcome. Today is a good day. I always say today is a good day because I want to make it a good day, right? Everyone take a deep breath and release. Yes, yes, I have a special guest with me today. You all are going to love. But before I start with her bio, I just want to remind you that I am a psychologist with over 23 years of experience practicing mental health. I do coaching, I do therapy, and I also advocate for the daily use of CBD. Most people don't know, but CBD comes from the hemp plant, not the marijuana plant. So it does not get you high. Legally, CBD has less than 0.3% THC in it. So again, you don't have to worry about getting high. But what you do get is the medicinal benefits that are both physical and mental. So if you're dealing with chronic stress, which I know most of us are, if you're dealing with anxiety, insomnia, depression, lack of focus, chronic pain, any kind of inflammatory condition, CBD can benefit you. I encourage you to go to my website. It's hemphappier.com because when you try CBD, it will make you happier. Check out my website, healthyminds.expert. You can learn about me and the services I provide. And then again, learn more about CBD. Today, I have the beautiful Kelly Bromwell. And Kelly is a Cook, Western Cook County Jack and Jill mother of mine. And the reason why I asked Kelly to come on my show is because every time we work together and we see each other, she fills my heart with love. This woman not only is beautiful physically, and of course she's genius, but her energy is just amazing. She is a multifaceted person. She has a background in finance, accounting, and information technology, obtained through a Bachelor's of Arts and Master's of Business Administration degrees. She obtained a Master's of Arts in Industrial Organizational Psychology. Her work history has allowed her to coach peers, managers, and top executives in conflict management and proactive listening. In addition, she has attained her project management professional and certified Scrum Master certifications. And she does all of that by balancing it with her life in philanthropy through Jack and Jill of America. That's that Western Cook County chapter I talked about. Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. And as a woman of God, she loves words that spark passion and reflective thinking. She balances her love of the Lord with giving back to the community. She enjoys spending time with family and traveling. Her travels include Australia, Europe, North America, and South America. She is also a spoken word artist. With regards to racism, she wants to change the narrative and help organizations with difficult conversations and become a cultural change ambassador. I love it. She is an integral part of ADE, Actively Disrupting Exclusivity, which is focused on partnering with organizations on systemic racism. I love it. Thank you so much, Kelly, for giving your time and your energy. Welcome.
Thank you. And thank you for all those compliments. Sometimes as women, we forget what it is to give another woman a compliment. So you definitely brightened my day.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So I mean, I know you through the work that we do together through Jack and Jill, but just reading your bio, I just did not realize your passion for spoken word, the coaching work that you did with proactive listening and conflict management. So the natural question for me is, what have you learned along your journey about the power of words?
I think words carry so much energy and people tend to forget that. We used to always say as kids, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That is such a lie. When you're a young child, words do hurt and words stick with you. And as a woman in her 40 plus years, I will say that words definitely have an impact. I too have had my own coach. I've gone through therapy and you're amazing. It's just amazing to me when I think back and listen and she asked me certain questions. I'm like, where'd that come from? You know something, when I was 9 years old, this little boy told me I would never be cute. I'd be so ugly because I was tall and you're just lanky. And I had all these nicknames because I'm a very tall woman. But when you're 9 years old and everybody in your family is of petite stature and you're already towering over them, it sticks with you. And I think as parents, as community leaders, we have to be aware of the words we use and the impact it has on others. Grandma always said, think before you speak. Never understood it. No, I have a filter with big holes in it and things just come flying out of my mouth sometimes. But I think if we can take a step back and really think about the words and the impact they have, words can be hurtful, but they also can be inspirational. If I come on here and I'm talking to a whole group and I said, have you looked in the mirror today and said, what is it that you love about yourself? Have you actually just stopped and looked in the mirror? And that was a hard lesson for me. We typically look in the mirror, you wash your face, throw on maybe some makeup and out the door you go. But take 2 minutes out to look at yourself and go, I am a beautiful person inside and out. God did not make any mistakes when he made me. And I love what I'm about to put out here in the world. And it goes beyond having a skinny face, a full face, a Bammin body, Megan Stallion knees. None of that is really equivalent to the beauty that comes from within. And I think as a woman, if I take that step back and remember through my journey, through my career, all the different challenges I've had, it's always been to realize I am valued. I bring things to the plate. And listening to you, Erica, read back my bio, I did all those things. Those are accomplishments because I take for granted that everybody does those things. I take for granted that we're all on that same page. And I say along the journey, I've learned not be so hard on myself. I am my biggest critic.
We all are.
So hard on myself. I started a new job a few months and the lady was in charge of the cup here. And I paused and I went, I don't know if my expectations are higher than yours or if yours are higher than mine. I said, but what I will tell you is I will give you the best of me each day I come into this door. And that's all you can do. I think about my journey and forgiving myself for any errors I made today in judgment or any words I may have used and saying it's okay because tomorrow is a new 24-hour period and I can start all over again.
Yeah,
you don't carry the mistakes of yesterday into tomorrow.
You're absolutely
don't carry those with you.
You're absolutely right. And I think that forgiving ourselves for those mistakes are oftentimes the hurdle in loving ourselves mm-hmm. and being kinder to ourselves. Mm-hmm. So I always, when I'm working with someone, I always have them look in the mirror and say, I am enough. I don't have to be or do anything. I don't need the accolades. I don't need the education. I don't need the money. I don't need the material physical objects to validate me or other people to validate me. Mm-hmm. My mm-hmm. existence, the fact that I am alive and breathing is sufficient and enough to be worthy. So I love that.
Yeah. Yes. I think when you wake up in the morning, your eyes open, the first thing out of your mouth should be like, thank you. Regardless of anything else, it should just be thank you. And I feel that with our children, you know, our children are our future. They need to hear that message. I went through a period of time, I'll say with my own child of, she was just negative Nancy is what I'm going to say. It was just nothing was making her happy. And I said, you know what we're going to do? Every time you say something negative, I want to hear three compliments. What are three things you're grateful for? And as I was putting her through it, I challenged my husband as well to say, what are you grateful for? And I found even as adults, we struggle. The first 1 or 2 days, it's easy. We did this for a month. When I tell you, it was a challenge after you get to the month because you can't repeat. And by the way, you can't say you're grateful for your house, your food, or anything material. What are you grateful for? So that's a lot of searching within to find things to be grateful for.
Yeah. Another question that I have for you is, you know, you give our chapter, whenever we have our chapter meetings, you give such a great inspiration, whether that's a poem, whether that's a video, whether that's a personal story you might tell. And so my question to you is, where do you go for inspiration? Because you're such a strong woman. At least that's what everyone sees on the outside. But I know there are times when you feel weak or you feel like you need to lean on someone. Mm-hmm. Where do you turn for that strength?
Well, it's always God first. But to me, that's so cliche. Everybody says, oh, it's God first. It is God, but I'll take it a step further. So my favorite Bible verse is Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you future and a hope. So even when I'm in my darkest hour, there's a purpose in that. What have I learned for that? What has this prepared me for? And I'll say the second part is probably with my gift. I have a gift of doing spoken word. People are like, where did this come from? I was like, I don't know. It just hits me and I write. So this is not anything that I sit there and say, oh, let me take 3 hours. Literally, anytime I get in that mode, I feel like God is speaking to me and out of my mouth it becomes. I feel sometimes I am one of his chosen to walk through and speak of his existence. I spent a year in a journey shouting, a whole year, talking to people at the airport, people I didn't even know, just telling them of God's good graces. And I'm going, what's wrong with me? Why is my mouth always open? I don't talk to strangers like this. And the quieter I tried to become, the louder my voice became. And I'll just say a short story. I was at church one day and I was just sitting there and my eyes kept being drawn to this woman. I didn't know this woman. I'd never seen this woman. And at the end of service, somebody said, go to her. And I went to her and I said, I'm supposed to talk to you. I am not a touchy-feely person. I'm not into the hugging, the touching. COVID made me very thankful because I can really say, oh, COVID, don't touch me. But I reached out and I hugged this woman. And I said to her, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what anybody's going through. I said, but God told me to tell you it's going to be okay. You're going to be all right. Whatever's going on, it's going to be taken care of. Don't worry, let it go. This woman starts sobbing in my arms. She said, I lost my job this morning and I haven't even told my husband and I'm so worried. And I said, okay, God, I'm going to listen more. So one of the things that when I'm feeling a little low, I have a spoken word that I'll share with you that I'll sometimes recite to myself.
I love it.
I am woman. A part of man, yes, I am. I am so much more than his rib. I am woman. I am strong. I am brave. I am all that you see from the inside out. I am beautiful, but not because of my eyes, my face, or even my shape. I'm beautiful because of the soul that shines brightly to all who dare to meet my gaze. I am woman. As part of man, I stand in all the glory of the Lord. I stand before all naked and unafraid to show my sins. I abate under his gaze, for he gave me the ultimate sacrifice of his son dying to cleanse my sins away. His sacrifice allows me to be glorious, fabulous, falter, and fallible in my faith. I am woman. I can roar like a lion, be meek like a lamb, and be shepherd as part of his flock, for I am woman. There is no other like me. I march the Lord's beat. I am his to command. His presence is comforting without saying a word. His love is the reason that I am this woman. I am a woman undefined. Relationships don't box me into category. Life doesn't kill me or make me. I break them each lesson, trail, and tribulation. He defines the steps I take, the growth I need, and the full execution of his vision. I take each obstacle, observation, evaluate, and overcome it all. I am a woman who stands strong, loves hard, and shares my fears and dreams. I stand with him. And for me, Unite with Christ and no weapon formed against you can ever flourish. Love him, love yourself, for you are all the woman you can be through him. For we are women. Hear us roar.
Wow.
And I sit in that some days because that is a testimony to me choosing to be vulnerable. For you, Erica, asking me to come and share my journey is a step in vulnerability because I'm choosing to expose myself to people I don't know. It's a very uncomfortable feeling. So I take inspiration, and this is a step in my journey. I want to help influence the future. I want us to be better women. I want us to be better to ourselves. I not only want us to be strong for everybody else, but be strong for us. And in order to do that, I have to be willing to stand up and open my mouth and share my gifts and share my words. But vulnerability is a hard thing.
It is. It is. And it's so interesting that you say that, because today when I was doing my meditation, I said, okay, I'm going to just quiet myself, you know, and I just said, you know, I'm just going to say, God, just do whatever, use me. I'm giving myself to you. Lead me where you want me to go. You know, tell me what you want me to say. Show me what you want me to do. Because I think oftentimes we have in our minds the idea of what we think we want.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I think my push to do something that I think is what is for me, it may not be for me. It may be something completely different that God has for me. But if I'm always set on what I want and how, you know, things didn't go the way I wanted, mm-hmm. I think we miss that. We miss that message. So I love you sharing about how when God spoke to you, you just did it. You just went over to that woman, and that just gave me chills, because it's like you didn't know, but higher power knew.
Mm-hmm.
That was also exactly what she needed.
Oh my God, Erica, that is so scary, because I'm walking up to a complete stranger. And I'm about to just speak whatever's on my mind. And for me, it's all about what you're putting out in the universe as well. You know, to me, when the universe is speaking to you, that's also God. Some people call it the universe, but I still think that's God. It's just he's finding a different way to share the message to you. What you put out there is what you attract. So you start talking about laws of attraction. It's always about the positive. You can't be, and I tell somebody, don't get me wrong, I'm not Pollyanna. I'm not Mary Poppins. I'm not happy and smiling and laughing every day, by no means, because that's not reality. However, I have learned to take a pause and redirect my energy. So when you're negative and I'm having a bad day and I'm just pissed off at everybody because it got on my last nerve, I let it out. Got to find outlets. I love to bake. So some days my family would laugh at me. I'm in the kitchen. I've made a pound cake and snickerdoodle cookies and pecan pie. And I have a small family. And they're going, what are we going to do with all this? I don't know. Eat it. Give it away. I don't care. But you have to find your outlet. And for women, we usually don't have one. You get up in the morning taking care of somebody. Even if you live alone, most people who live alone have some type. I got a cat. I got a dog. I got a bird. I got a fish. There's somebody. I got to call and check on mama today. If I don't have mama, I got to call and check on big mama. I got to call and check on auntie. There's always somebody. And I think that we come last.
Yeah.
Self-care is not selfish. And we have to do more of self-care.
Yeah. And that's one thing that I definitely advocate for, because I do believe that this generation coming up have this idea that if they love themselves, or if they praise themselves, that they're, you know, conceited or they're narcissistic.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've got it twisted. And so they criticize themselves, and they demean themselves, and mm-hmm. they kind of, you know, muffle their flame and their light. They suppress it so that other people can be comfortable.
And they're so concerned about other people being comfortable. And I feel that our children are most vulnerable, I'll say at that ages of 7 to 10, because 7 to 10 is when I noticed that with my daughter and some of her peers, they were so concerned about others. But where are you? Where's your comfortability? It's okay. I don't want to hurt their feelings. it's okay, but you're not comfortable. And I feel that we carry that into adulthood.
Yes, we do.
As an adult, I'm not going to say certain things because I'm worried about offending you, even if it is the truth.
Yeah.
No, they always said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. People don't subscribe to that because I would say in my own personal life, you know, I say this when I take off my Pollyanna hat and go, I treat you the same way you treat me. And people have a problem with that. Check your tone. If this is the tone you're talking to me in, I can meet you in that same exact tone.
Yeah.
If I think people take that for granted. Everybody's not coming for you. So that's the first thing as a society. Everybody's not coming for you, nor is everybody checking for you. So everybody's not jealous, nor is everybody want to fight you. It's just these two extremes. No, no, no. Sometimes people are just who they are. And I think, Erica, one key is loving people where they are. I accept you where you are. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. If we disagree, what do we do about it? Let's be adults. Have the conversation. I didn't appreciate when you did X, Y, Z. And I think our children need to be equipped with that same type of vulnerability. My daughter's in us. And the adults. But I'm focused on the future, that future generation. Some adults you can teach, some adults you can't. Some people are, this is who I am, I'm not changing. Okay, be by yourself sitting over there in the corner. That's fine. But the one thing I think the best lesson my daughter came back from her Montessori school when she was 4. Something happened. I was like, oh, I don't like that. My daughter looks at me. She says, Mommy, at school we're taught, you get what you get and you don't throw a fit. And I looked at this little girl and I went, wow. If more adults just thought, this is what it is, don't throw a fit, we'd be in a much better place. But everyone is so sure that they're right. I'm right. My opinion is right. I'm going to force my opinion down your throat. No, that's part of being vulnerable. Being vulnerable is being the person to go, you know what? I don't need to give you my opinion. I can listen to what you have to say and I can sit right over and say, okay. No.
I think, you know, more and more, especially as we're dealing with the systemic racism, I think more and more we have to push past these uncomfortable conversations, because I think what you're talking about is sometimes, you know, being uncomfortable, but needing to speak up, mm-hmm. you know, needing to speak up and not have to worry about offending someone. You know, and I tell my patients, the people that I work with, this all the time. What's more important is that you get it off your chest, because mm-hmm. it's hurting you mm-hmm. emotionally and physically and physiologically. How that person receives it is not up to you. That's not your responsibility. They have to put on their big person pants and receive the information. And then they can do what they will with it. But everyone has the right to speak their truth.
It is. You speak your truth. And it's mine, as I tell somebody, when you receive feedback, you have 3 choices with that feedback. I can take your feedback and I can run with it. I can re-gift your somebody else. I can flush your feedback right down the toilet and say, it's not relevant to me. I said, everybody has 3 choices. That it's about that respect factor. What your opinion is of me is quite frankly none of my business. It really isn't. And the only person you can control is yourself. And people have forgotten that. When it comes to these uncomfortable conversations, everybody knows, you know, all the different minorities who have been affected, all the minorities who have lost their lives. And now as a result of this not even this last one. As of George Floyd, all these companies jumped on board with, we need D&I initiatives. We need to diversify. We need to have inclusion. What does that look like? It's more than just hiring people of color. And I said, it kind of cracks me up. I said, what is people of color? White is a color. Pink is a color. I said, everybody's a person of color. But that seems to be the new buzzword, a person of color. I'm like, what is that? We're not colors, we're people. Yeah. So to me, it should be about bringing in the best fit and being aware that it comes in all different shades.
Yeah. And I think just accepting that It's because of our diversity. It's because of our differences, mm-hmm. differences in physical attributes, differences in our perspective, differences in our culture and our religion and our traditions and in just who we are in our languages that make us so rich, that make us so abundant and wealthy. It's not a competition. Everyone is unique and contributes mightily to making us better. So I think we just have to shift our mindset about, you know, mm-hmm. About how we're all different. And that's our beauty. That is our strength.
But people struggle so often, I think, with accepting the differences. And I look back at the first step to accept somebody's differences, to acknowledge there is a difference and there's nothing wrong with it.
No.
And I know that as women, as children, even when we're little, even as adults, and I see it in males, I think our males have it even tougher than we do to some extent when it comes to acknowledging the differences, because they're brought up to be tough and keep it all together. Don't you dare cry. That doesn't hurt. But as women, you should be soft. You know, you here in the workplace, you're aggressive. You're bossy. What's the difference? I have a seat at the table. I have a voice. I would like to be heard. And I think even in today's society, you hear a lot of those same excuses going on. Oh, you know, sexist. You know, that's just how he is. But why is that acceptable? Who's going to have that tough conversation? Who's going to fix that? What's the word? Who's going to fix that perception?
And I think that's where we're moving towards is really the respect factor, treating people how you want to be treated, that golden rule that you talked about, mm-hmm. and stop judging people. Mm-hmm. Stop judging people, because our media, our programming in this country, in our great country of America, has been skewed. Mm-hmm. So we have to stop judging according to what we've learned and what we've been programmed, and to really let go of those limiting beliefs about how people have to be because of what they look like, or how people have to act because of their financial resources, or how people have to, you know, speak because of their language. We just have to really allow people to be. Allow
I think that's
a
hard.
Person to be. Let them be who they are, because mm-hmm. everyone brings value. And it is, it's definitely unfamiliar.
It's unfamiliar, it's uncomfortable, it's choosing to open yourself up. COVID, as bad as people perceive COVID was sometimes one of the best things that ever happened, because it forced the whole country to stop. It forced everybody to stop. What did I do during COVID? I focused on teaching my daughter how to do some cooking so she'd be able to take care of herself. Before, we've always been on the go. You've never had that time to be home. People who travel for their jobs all at once found themselves at home with their family.
Yeah.
Family time increased. You got to see the things you liked or didn't like, and trying to step up that positivity, trying to step up my job in my mind is to be that community, to make sure the future generations are raised up. We've gotten so you can't address other people's children. And you've been around me long enough, Erica, me and your son, I'll say it in a heartbeat. Come over here. We're not doing that today. No, don't even think twice about it.
Yeah,
because that's who I am.
It's like that takes a village mentality. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we've got under 2 minutes. What last words of wisdom would you give my listeners about anything?
I would say find time for you. Every day you should do something for you. Today's thing for me today was Erica was asking me on here. I didn't know it was going to be audio. I put some lipstick on today. That was something for me. I'm not going to advocate exercise. I'm not going to advocate healthier eating. I'm going to say find something for you that makes you happy. If that's going to Andy's, Dairy Queen, Baskin Robbins to get a scoop of ice cream today, go get it, because you deserve it, because you're special and you're loved and you're a beautiful, wonderful individual, and don't let anybody take that away from you.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I mean, I definitely am advocating for everyone, please look in the mirror, Just look in the mirror and tell yourself, you are enough. You are enough. You are worthy. You are breathing. And you love yourself. Love yourself, because in order for you to love others, you gotta love yourself. So thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to be on my show and share your journey. I love you, Kelly. No problem.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it, Dr. Erica. Have a wonderful day, and I hope your listeners do that. Look in that mirror.
Thanks for listening to Master Your Mind with Dr. Erica. We will be back next with another terrific episode that will allow you to master your mind. Please visit hemphappier.com for more information about Dr. Erica and CBD oil. See you next week.